Okay, let's start with prayer. Father, thank you that we can be together again, look into your word and fellowship with one another and with you. We ask that you'd be present with us, speak to our hearts, open our eyes, so we may hear the truth out of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. John, let me start, I guess.
Okay.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house and into thy bedchamber and upon thy bed and into the house of thy servants and upon thy people and into thine ovens and into thy kneading troughs. And the frog shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and call frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt.
Yeah.
Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy house, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, not that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee and from thy house and from thy servants and from thy people, and they shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice. In man and in beast, all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people tomorrow. People, tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? Oh, excuse me. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. only shall not go very far away, entreat for me. And Moses said, behold, I can't stop saying it. Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow, but let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. Okay. You can review a little here.
Yeah, so with the plague of the frogs that was first covered, Hink made a statement that I thought was really good, that in verse 7, where it says the magicians did so with their enchantments and they brought frogs upon the land, he said that that's what the devil and his demons are only capable of doing, that they had no power of causing any abatement of the frogs. They couldn't prevent them from multiplying or coming into the house or going into their cupboards or the bedrooms. The only thing that, and so in the same way, that's the devil too. He has no power of stopping the evil that he's introduced into the world. They can only multiply it. And I thought that was really significant that just as Moses brought these frogs, they're able to increase the wickedness, but they can't stop it. Same thing with Satan. So I thought that was a really good point that he made. I also like that in verse 22, how God says, I will set apart the land of Goshen, which my people dwell in. He goes, I'll make a difference between my people. And I like how there God makes that distinction in the world between his people and the rest of the people.
Yeah, that's very notable. And it's interesting, I think that occurs after the first, I think it's there's three plagues before that plague. There's the plague of blood, the plague of the frogs,
The lice.
and the lice. And then when we come to
The
the
flies.
flies, that's when the third, this is the fourth after three plagues. So there's three plagues where there was no distinction and seven plagues where there was a distinction.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting. If there's, I don't know if Pink commented on that, but I know you said he makes the analogy between the plagues of Egypt and the plagues at the end times.
Yeah, I can read that. It's right next to me.
And I'm just wondering if there was something about the three and the seven, because we know there's the seven last years, and yet there's 10 plagues here, but I've never heard anybody comment on that, but it does seem an interesting.
Every single time there's any numbers, he talks about that a lot.
Okay, well, that would be it. Then he probably talks about it because there's three and seven. It doesn't.
Always, yeah, he never misses an opportunity to do that. Every single number represents something. What else was I going to say? There was another thing. Oh, well, I guess I'll say it now just because it's on my mind, but all of these plagues show the patience of God with the unregenerate. Is that these plagues are delivered to Pharaoh as signs not to destroy them utterly, but to give them an opportunity to repent. That's the same thing that God does with people today. And it's like over and over and over again, there are these things, and it shows how long suffering and merciful he is. If he wanted to, he would just say, "Let my people go." No, you don't do it. Okay, destroy them. But it's actually, and you can look at it from two different perspectives. Like, oh, how evil that is for God to send all these plagues upon Egypt. But really, it should be looked at how merciful he is, because those are all opportunities for him.
In fact, I think there's a verse a little later on that says a little more about this. But let's wait till we get there. Did you find anything in there about?
Oh, I didn't even really look. I did find the section where he talks about he makes the comparison between the end plagues. I don't know if you want me to go over that.
Well, anyway.
Yes, no.
No, I don't think we need to go over the fact that there's a similarity between the
Okay.
plagues and the, because I see that, and I think we went over that actually in a previous meeting where we
Yeah, it
talked.
wasn't recorded.
It wasn't?
No, it was at the end of one of our discussions. In fact, it was before we even did the Exodus study.
Oh, I see. Well, there, go over the similarities then.
All right. Well, it says that God will send two witnesses to work miracles before their enemies, and their enemies will also perform miracles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Revelation 13, 13 through 15. Now, if you want to turn to that,
I'm going to Revelation 13.
13 through 15.
And he do it. Oh, this is the what? This is one of the beasts, I guess. Says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And it says, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beasts, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed.
Okay.
Well, I think that's interesting because I see two similarities there. He can do miracles, and one of them is to create life, which is sort of like what happens with the lice, or what is it? What is it that they? Oh, the frogs, rather.
Yeah. And then it says, God will execute sword judgments upon the world, Jeremiah 25. God will protect his own people from them. He'll
Do you have a
suffer.
reference for
Yeah,
that?
Revelation 7, 4, 12, and 14.
All in chapter
Oh, I'm
seven.
sorry. Revelation 7, 4, 12, 16. I'm sorry, it's 12, 6.
12:6. I'm going to go to 12:6 then.
And then 12:6, and then again 12:14 through 16.
12:6 says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And then
14 through 16.
the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for a time and a time and half a time from the face of the serpent. That's the 3.5 years. And the earth helped the woman. This is verse 16. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Now there I see the distinction that we were, like we were talking about in the last seven plagues, correlating to this 3.5 year period where the plagues that God is sending are not affecting. There's some aspect of them that doesn't affect the saints. And likewise, the mark of the beast. You know, it's all the plague of the locusts that bite the members of the everybody in the beast kingdom. They don't bite people who have the mark of God, only people who have the mark of the beast.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said those. I don't know what part, what verse in Revelation it is, but it's unless it was what was in Revelation 7. What was the first reference?
7:4.
And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000. Okay. Of the tr so there's a marking out of the 144,000. And later on, it says that. Where is that? It's one of the. Okay, it's in chapter 16. It says in the and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways. Well, there's the number seven. And I heard a voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go where's your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Well,
Yeah,
the
seven is
first
the number of completion.
yeah, and but that when this distinction is made, there are seven plagues that follow in Exodus. So it's like the seven vials. And it says in verse 2, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there was a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. But it's only saying that it was on those who had the mark of the beast, not on anyone who didn't. See? Which is very similar. And now I see, now that I see it's under the heading of the seven vials, I can see the connection between the seven.
Okay, that's cool. All right, and then we have water will again be turned into blood. Revelation 8:8 and 16:4 and 5. I don't know if you need to go to that,
No,
but
I'm not. I
okay. So yeah, you have Revelation saying that the water will again be turned into blood, just as it
and
was the first
there's dark. We just pointed out,
and
well,
then
there's darkness, and that's one of the seven vials too.
satanic frogs will appear. Revelation 16:13. A plague of locusts shall be sent. Revelation 9:2. God will send boils and blains, Revelation 16:2. Terrible hailstones shall descend from heaven, Revelation 8:7. There shall be awful darkness. That's in Isaiah 62, chapter 60, verse 2, and Revelation 16:10. And just as Pharaoh hardened his heart, so will the wicked in the day to come, Revelation 9:20. Death will consume multitudes, Revelation 9:15. Israel will be delivered, Zechariah 14, and that's about it of the comparisons.
No. Okay.
I think that that's very interesting.
I'm gonna go. Why don't you take nine? Let's see. I did eight. Why don't you read nine then?
Okay. All right. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord, God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go, still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep, a very severe pestilence. and the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed, not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace, and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh, and it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward heaven, and they caused boils that break out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth.
That's the verse I was thinking of, where
That's kind of like what I
you
said
were saying it
before.
could have been, he could have just gone out. And here he's saying, for now I will stretch out my hand that I might. Where was I?
Verse 15.
Yeah. And the 16 says, and in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show thee that my name may be declared throughout all the earth.
Which is what
Yeah.
Paul quotes in Romans.
Yeah.
Right. So, so he says, you would have been cut off from the earth, but indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. As yet, you exalt yourself against my people, and that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses, but he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted on the ground. I'm sorry, fire darted to the ground. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt and all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I will let you go and shall stay no longer. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. Now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they are late crops. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord. Then the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more, and he hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses.
Yeah.
So we have pretty much more of the same.
Yeah, just the different types of, but again, they're very similar to the ones in Revelation for sure. Well, I'm going to read 10 then. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus said the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. Else, if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coasts, and they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned themselves and went out from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go, for we must hold the feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. Not so, go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt, and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and then they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned the mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us, and there shall not a hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not what we must serve the Lord. We know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to thyself. See my face no more, for in that day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, Thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more.
You know, what struck me in this chapter is I think, you know, there's a lot of people like Pharaoh that may show signs of repentance, but it's not a true repentance. You know, whenever there's some calamity in someone's life or they get struck with a sickness or something, a lot of people can become very religious. You know, and they'll even confess their sins as he does in verse 16. I've sinned against the Lord your God and you now forgive my sin. You know what I mean? And a lot of people do that. It's like they have no concern for God. They don't care about his word. They don't care about his glory or anything like that. But then when something happens to them, they're like, oh, you know, God help me. You know, it's like, I'm just praying that God helps me. And then when God does deliver them, they're like, oh, okay, boom. And they go right back to how they were.
I think the reason for that is that kind of repentance is based on fear. And the repentance that works is repentance that's based on love, really. And there is a difference. In other words, if you look in the ministry of Jesus, there were people who heard his message and it resonated with them in a way where they said, I want this in my life. It was a desire. There was like a love for what was being said. And their repentance constituted in their recognizing that they had deficiencies in themselves, but it wasn't just that they were turning away because they were afraid of the consequences. It was that they wanted the life of God itself that was being manifested by Jesus. Whether it was righteousness, it was a desire for righteousness, for his faith, for the goodness, all these positive things. And it was love for that. That was the love of God. That, in essence, was their love for God being shown. And that kind of repentance works because it leads to an opening. First of all, you're recognizing the goodness of God. It's something you want, and you have a faith in God's love to the in with the hope that he will forgive you for your lack and enable you to be what he wants you to be. On the other hand, if it's just motivated by fear, as soon as that threat diminishes, well, then you say, well, what's the sense of my repentance? I didn't want to do this in the first place. I only did it because I was afraid. So,
And the same exact thing.
yeah.
Same exact way. Moses, I'm sorry, Pharaoh is afraid of these things, and so he uses that as a like the secret password or the,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? It's like I don't know.
I think that's why there are conversions that don't last, because it's like they're the fruit of being wrought up because they heard a message, let's say on hell or something, or in the wrath of, you know, in the power of God. And they said, wow, I'm going to be in big trouble. You know, I'm going to repent. But there's no real desire for God. It's just, I don't want this bad
Yeah,
thing.
I like what you said. You know, you're right. It's true repentance is not something that's motivated out of fear so much as something that's motivated out of love
I
to,
think that's important.
in other words, I love the Lord. Sinning displeases the Lord, and I don't want to do anything that displeases him because I love him. In the same way that you wouldn't want to do anything that displeases your parents because you love them,
Or anyone
or
you
anything like
love.
that, or anybody. And that should be your real desire to do things that please people because you love them, not because you necessarily fear them. Because fear won't create genuine.
Genuine, anything that lasts, it's going to be temporal.
Yeah. And you know, another thing that I was thinking about is that I think that exactly what happened in Egypt back then is happening in our lives. I think that the things that we see cause two different reactions in people. There's a desire for repentance and reformation. And I think it also has an effect of hardening people's hearts as well. And I think that we can look at things like, I don't know, 9/11 and COVID and all these things that there could have, there's two different responses to those things. It could have been a time for national repentance, but and I think a lot of people did respond that way, but then there's a lot of people who just hardened their hearts.
I think that reminds me of that verse we were talking about yesterday. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there is no sign shall be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. I wanted to comment a little bit more on that, because on the one hand, he's saying it's an evil generation that seeks a sign, and the sign is that he's being given is the sign of the prophet Jonas. Now, the sign of the prophet Jonas was really resurrection, because Jesus goes on to say, as Mo Jonah was in the belly of the whales 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth. The sign was just like Jonas came out of the belly, Jesus rose from the dead. That's the sign. If that doesn't cause you to repent, any other sign that's given is going to have the same kind of effect that they had on Pharaoh. It's gonna, they're signs, but they don't lead to repentance.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about this for a little bit. So you're saying that if you don't believe the story of Jonah, then you won't believe that Christ
No,
was
I'm
raised from
saying
the dead.
if you don't believe in the, if you don't see in the resurrected Christ a reason to repent, because you're not going to repent. If you see miracle, the miracles aren't going to do it. There's
Oh, right. I see.
It's the life of God in that he's in Christ that attracts you.
Right. I
And
see.
it's again,
So
it's
it's
that
not
love
that
thing.
we need to see crazy wonders and miracles. It's you should be looking to the risen Lord. And if that's not enough, then you don't need it. You don't need any more sign than that.
Because there was another verse that
You
we
know,
were.
it's interesting, speaking of Jonah, I think that is one of the things that unbelievers really focus on. I've had lots of discussions with people over the years, and that's one of the things that people often go to is being too fantastic. You know, they're like, so you literally believe everything in the Bible. Yes. So you really believe that someone was swallowed by a whale and lived in his stomach for 3 days and then was thrown back up on the, it's like, yes. And they go, that's ridiculous. Like, that's one of the things that people find to be most, and yet that's the exact sign that Jesus pointed to.
Well, it's interesting.
All right, well, anything else we could say? I also love the line, Carr, where it says in 21, where it says, "There may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt." I feel like that today. I think that's what we're experiencing, I think, every single time we go out, and we're not able to necessarily pinpoint exactly what it is, but there's just this darkness that can be felt.
Depends. Different. It depends what you're being exposed to. But I know what you mean. Sure, see it in a lot of the news that you see on TV and stuff. But it's very bad.
All right, well, should I read 11?
I think we might have time for one more.
Just a short chapter.
It's a short chapter. Let's do
Okay. And the Lord said to Moses, "I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold." And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Then Moses said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. Then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall be like it again. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, 'Get out, and all the people who follow you.' After that, I will go out." Then he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. But the Lord said to Moses, "Moses will not heed you, so that my wonders may be multiplied."
Pharaoh will not heed you,
Oh,
rather.
Pharaoh will not heed you. Sorry. "So that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt." So Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of his land.
All this is. This is. So this word is given to Moses that there's going to be one more plague coming. But Moses never, that he doesn't tell Pharaoh that this is going to happen, does he? He just says God tells Moses it's going to happen, but Moses doesn't tell Pharaoh, does he?
No, Moses, I think, is speaking to the people.
Yeah,
Okay,
right.
all of borrow articles of gold from your neighbors, and then he said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out." And yeah, he's not telling that to Pharaoh.
Unless verse 8 implies that. Well, he's, yeah, because in verse 8 he says, after it says, "And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me." After that, "And all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out." And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. This is carrying, I think, a continuation of the previous chapter where Moses says to him, "Thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more." But before he leaves, he gives him this final warning, I
Yeah.
guess.
Yeah, that would be consistent.
It's the only way you can Okay. All right. Okay, well, then I think we're gonna
We'll stop there.
stop there. I'm gonna note this in the next time, and I'm gonna stop the recording.